Bridges, and I'm from Colorado State University, and I'm going to be presenting today a little bit of the work that I did for my master's research. And I'd just like to go ahead and acknowledge my collaborators, Brian Henry and Dale Shaner, who are with the USDA ARS, Raj Khosla, Phil Wester, and Robin Reich are all with Colorado State University. So as Dr. Clay mentioned, I'm going to be talking about the spatial variability of dissipation, of the dissipation of two soil-applied herbicides in dryland soils, but I'd really like to talk to you about it in the context of site-specific management. So precision management requires that the factors that limit productivity, such as weeds in this case, be spatially characterized across a crop field in order to treat different areas of the crop field differently as opposed to uniformly. In the case of precision weed management, weeds have been well documented to occur in patches across a crop field, which provides an excellent opportunity for site-specific control. Generally, there are two approaches that we can take for precision weed management, one of which is to go a post-emergence route, where we just treat places where weeds are occurring. And in order to do that, we have to know where the weeds are occurring. So this usually requires some type of data, like remotely sensed data. Here I have an example of a color infrared image of a wheat field where patches of jointed goat grass and kochia have been identified. Or another popular method for post-weed emergence management would be creating predictive models of where weeds are likely to occur across the field. But even though there has been quite a bit of research in this area, the spatial dynamics of weed distributions are still poorly understood, which makes it difficult to sell this idea to a farmer or implement schemes that would mitigate the risk of just uniform management. Another approach that we could take to precision weed management might be a pre-emergence control, where we treat different areas of the field differently based on varying soil properties that are known to affect herbicide efficacy. One such way of characterizing soil properties, especially those known to affect the activity and bioavailability of herbicides, such as texture, moisture content, and organic matter, is the use of soil apparent electrical conductivity. This can actually be very easily mapped in the field very rapidly and quite cost effectively by just, this is an example of a Varis unit, mapping unit that's able to map soil EC. It can just be hooked to the back of a pickup truck and driven back and forth in a field. And although to generate several thousand data points of EC measurement, and it's quite convenient mechanism that's been used in the past to differentiate different soil types in a field at a finer resolution than what you can typically see in a soil survey. So we looked at two herbicides in this study. We looked at atrazine, which is typically a soil-applied herbicide, although it can be applied post-emergence as well. And it's very commonly used in corn production systems, especially in Colorado. And producers will use it for broadleaf weed control primarily. Atrazine is very mobile in the environment, in the soil environment, and so it often is found in groundwater systems. And it also has a lot of soil activity and stays around for a while. But despite that, over the past 10 years, there have been quite a few reports of this accelerated dissipation or rapid degradation of the compound, which can have some serious implications for producers and the residual weed control that they expect to get. Generally, when atrazine is applied, producers expect at least 40 days of weed control based off of their atrazine application. Very recently in Colorado, a study by Shaner and Henry illustrated rapid degradation of atrazine in irrigated cornfields in Colorado. We also looked at metolachlor, also a soil-applied herbicide, commonly tank-mixed with atrazine and applied at the same time, used for grasses most often. Both of them have different varying amounts of selectivity, but these will be commonly applied together in corn production systems. And there have been a few reports of enhanced degradation of metolachlor as well, both of which, in both of these reports, both with metolachlor and atrazine, enhanced degradation has been the result of soils that have been selected for microbes that can break them down rapidly by repeated and recent and repeated use of both herbicides. So what we wanted to do was compare the dissipation rates of atrazine and metolachlor from different soil EC-derived zones across the field under laboratory conditions. And we also wanted to determine if rapid herbicide dissipation of either of the herbicides had occurred in dryland soils. So shallow soil EC, which is just the average conductivity from the top 30 centimeters of the soil, or soil profile, was mapped on three fields for this study. And then we delineated soil zones based on this EC by first interpolating the EC data collected in the field using modified residual Krieging, and then clustering that interpolated data into three classes using iterative self-organizing data analysis techniques. We clustered it into three classes based on low, medium, and high EC values. We collected soil samples in May where we took three samples from the top 5 inches within each of the low and high soil EC zones. And these are just, this was one field on which soil samples were collected, and these are just the samples of areas where we collected from, red being the low EC zone area and the blue being a high EC zone area. We analyzed these soils in addition to collecting, we analyzed them for water holding capacity and also do particle size analysis. We performed two incubation experiments where we we inoculated soils in the lab the soils that we collected in the field with both 1 part per million of atrazine and metolachlor. And we assayed and we incubated them in 25 degrees Celsius conditions and assayed them for residual soil concentrations over a time course between 0 and 35 days after treatment. In the first experiment, and that's what we did in the first experiment, was looked at between 0 and 35 days after treatment. We used a toluene total extraction procedure and analyzed using gas chromatography mass spectrometry. In our second, we repeated this experiment where we shortened our time sequence because we realized that we were missing some critical information about atrazine dissipation in the first 7 days. So we decided to shorten the sequence and then just look at 0 through 7 days after treatment. But we, same conditions still applies to the first experiment. Then we fit all of our herbicide concentration data separately for metolachlor and for atrazine using first order exponential decay models, where we estimated K and then compared those first order rate constants between the soils from the low zones and the high zones. And we also calculated half-lives, according to this equation here, the natural log, 2 divided by our K values that we estimated. And that's how I will talk about the dissipation that we realized on these fields and between these zones in half-lives. So first I'd like to talk a little bit about the soil EC zones that we delineated on the field. So soil EC was significantly higher in all of our, and we have soil EC here represented in millisiemens per meter, was significantly higher in all of our high EC zones, which lended credence to our interpolation and our clustering methods that we used. And also this says a little something about the variability of EC that was across the field, which is correlated to those properties that are known to affect herbicide efficacy, such as texture and organic matter. Finer soil texture, finer soil texture in our high EC zones, with clays most predominantly in our high zones. And our field capacity moisture content was significantly higher in our high EC zones. And these data as a whole really support our use of EC to differentiate between these properties that we know can affect herbicide efficacy and bioavailability. Now I'd like to just talk about atrazine dissipation in particular first. We found that within zones on two of the three fields, we had a higher rate of, or a faster rate of atrazine dissipation in the high EC zones. And right now I'm just going to present a conceptual graph that represents the nonlinear regression models that we fit to our atrazine concentration data. On the x-axis, I have days after treatment. On the y, I have atrazine concentration in parts per million. The orange curve represents the dissipation or exponential or the decay model that was fit for a low EC zone, and the yellow for the high EC zone. Overall, across all fields, we found that half-lives range between 1.8 and 3.2 days. Now, considering that atrazine, according to various literature sources and under various soil conditions, have half-lives between 60 and 180 days, we did determine that this was accelerated atrazine dissipation that we were experiencing in these dryland soils. And most of the literature points to microbial communities, particularly bacteria, that are able to rapidly mineralize the estrazine ring of atrazine. And all of this work had been based on atrazine-adapted soils, so they'd seen atrazine applied at least, well, as many as few as two times to be able to select for these communities that were able to degrade it rapidly. Now, in our case, two of the fields, these two that have these significant differences between zones, had seen at least two atrazine applications in the last 3 years prior to sampling. The other one without the significant differences had the same trend where there was a faster rate in the high EC zone, but had only seen one application of atrazine in the last 2 years. Let's switch gears to metolachlor now and talk about its dissipation. There was a higher rate of dissipation in the high EC zone of two or three fields again, the same trend as what we saw with atrazine. Again, I have the same conceptual graph with days after treatment on the x-axis and metolachlor concentration, this time in parts per million on the y, and low EC zone decay model in orange and high in the yellow. Half-lives overall across all fields for metolachlor range between 9 days and 10.7 days. This, according to some recent work performed by Shaner and Henry in 2007, would suggest, especially under field conditions, that this is not enhanced degradation of metolachlor. So in conclusion, we did see spatial variability of herbicide dissipation in two of the three fields that we evaluated in this study, with a higher rate of dissipation in the high EC zones, which lends this idea that there is a potential for soil EC-derived management zones that where you might variably apply herbicide based on soil properties that can be characterized by EC. But we still need to do some further studies under field conditions where we actually combine these dissipation data and the variation in dissipation data with efficacy observations, because this may be why we see weeds occurring in patches where the herbicide is failing. And then the other big story of this was that we in fact saw a very rapid dissipation of atrazine. And since it was under laboratory conditions, we hypothesized that it was microbial degradation of it. And this has some serious implications for producers. It may be in their best interest to rotate it out and use a different herbicide in its place, something other than atrazine. And I'd just like to acknowledge some of the people that helped us out, especially our farmers, allowing access to their fields and their records. And with that, I'll take any questions.
We do have time for questions. If you have questions, I'm going to see that.
How do you differentiate your EC zones?
Well, I used first I interpolated all the data using a modified residual kriging. Oh, the choice in that methodology was based on a need to remove a trend, a directional trend, that was in all of the data. And then I used iterative self-organizing data analysis technique, similar to as a clustering of that interpolated data. It's very similar to k-means clustering. It has a, there's a slight variation in its algorithm, but it requires the use of the user entering in how many classes they actually want. So you could, in the absence of the user telling it, I want three classes, it could have differentiated many more classes of EC or fewer, depending on the variability of the EC measurements in the field.
Any other questions?
Well, in this experiment, we inoculated in the lab. So we applied it directly to the soil within jars. The farmers themselves, since it's a no-till system, it does some broadcast application of atrazine.